Good morning, everyone. If you were with us just a few moments ago, Congressman Gerald Nadler, Democrat, speaking about interrogation techniques, the so-called torture memos, following the facts where they lead. Who authorized those interrogation tactics, and were any laws broken? Well, the facts lead this morning to the front page of our partners, the New York Times, which takes a look at the genesis of the program which led to the interrogation tactics that have been outlined in the memos that have been released last week, and more revelations are coming out every day. Scott Shane joins us, reporter for our partner, the New York Times, from Washington. Scott, first of all, what is the genesis, as we understand it now, of these interrogation techniques? Where did they find the techniques, and what can we begin to learn about the process of authorizing them at the highest levels of the Bush administration?
Well, the White House, President Bush, decided that the CIA should be the agency charged with detaining and questioning the high-level al-Qaeda operatives that they hoped to catch after the 9/11 attacks. But the CIA had very little experience, almost no experience, interrogating hostile people. They had some folks who were used to questioning, of course, agents and trying to figure out who was a double agent and that sort of thing. But they didn't have a traditional kind of interrogation experience of the kind that was more common in the FBI and the military. So first the CIA consulted various other countries, and then they turned to a military training program called SERE, S-E-R-E, for survival, survival, evasion, resistance, and escape. That was a program which, under various names, dated back to the 1950s, and it had been created after the Korean War because the Chinese had held a bunch of American pilots during the Korean War, and some of those pilots had given false confessions to germ warfare and various other things. And that led to concern about how Americans could withstand interrogation and to some suspicions that the communists had some kind of secret brainwashing techniques. So there were a lot of studies done of what exactly was done with these American prisoners. And as a result, they created this training program, to give military personnel who were seen to be at high risk of capture a taste of what they might face if they were captured and interrogated.
So the original program was, this is what the Chinese communists do. How did it become, this is what the CIA does?
Well, what's interesting is that what our reporting suggested was that the history of that program was lost. When the CIA went to look at these methods, at least top officials had no idea that these were methods that had been used by our communist Cold War enemies, and that in the 50s and 60s had been identified as torture, and specifically as torture that had the result of producing false confessions.
You're saying they just basically
the origin of the program.
They just took it off the shelf and just started reading.
They just took it off the shelf, and what they said was, they were looking for a way, in that atmosphere of to take the gloves off, as the saying was back then, to get tough on these terrorists, because they had the theory that these terrorists would not respond to the kind of ordinary interrogation that the United States had traditionally used. But, of course, the problem with taking the gloves off is that you run up against laws against torture.
Right. Well,
this would get them off the hook.
Well, let's talk about that. And, again, there's a lot of ground to cover here, so I want to keep moving along here. The authorization, how high does it go? And when the CIA asked what laws apply here and how can we do this legally, who is involved in those decisions?
Well, a wide array of top officials, President Bush, Vice President, President Cheney, cabinet officials like Colin Powell, who was then Secretary of State, and Don Rumsfeld, the Secretary of Defense, Condoleezza Rice, who was the National Security Advisor,
Wow. And
others all were briefed on these methods by George Tenet, the CIA director, and four members of Congress, the top officials of the intelligence committees in the House and Senate, were also briefed, and no one objected, no one dissented.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the revelations as we understand them over the past few weeks. This story began with revelations from whistleblowers within the administration who wanted this information out. As you've reported this story, was it widely thought that this was an appropriate program, or was it widely believed that the CIA had gone off the rails here, as you talk to people in the bureaucracy?
I think attitudes changed over time. As I said, there were no dissents when the program was first presented and approved. And that includes people like Colin Powell, who, of course, had vast military experience and who subsequently was extremely upset at the use of these techniques. But part of the problem was the CIA briefings completely omitted the history, for example, of waterboarding, the fact that it had been used by virtually every despotic regime since the Spanish Inquisition, and presented it as sort of a clinical, quick way to scare someone into talking. And I think as the history began to be better known, there was more dissent even at the upper ranks of the Bush administration. And by 2004 and 2005, there were voices internally that were pushing back. Another thing that happened was the CIA Inspector General completed a secret report on the program in 2004, which was highly critical and raised questions about its legality.
Well, all the details on the front page of our partner, the New York Times, this morning, Scott Shane and Mark Mazzetti jointly wrote the piece. Scott Shane joined us from Washington, where he's a reporter for our partner, the New York Times. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
And now Femi Okeh has some more headlines.
Thank you very much. The time is 28 minutes past the hour.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.